One, two, three, four. Just another day at my dead-end profession. I'm living day to day. Yeah, listening to some good old country records on the radio. And yeah, what else can I say?
You're listening to the Degenerate Podcast. I'm Ryan Shores. With me is Dave Callens.
Hey.
And Robert Timothy on the soundboard.
How you doing?
I'm doing okay. Got some Zima here.
Which is interesting, because for those listeners who don't know...
What the fuck is he doing with Zima?
Half of Ryan's bit.
Whoa.
Come on, 90%.
Yeah. I'll give him a hard 65. Most of his bit is trashing Zima. Like,
and
Zima...
Specifically the Zima guy.
Yeah, Ryan...
Right.
Mortal enemy.
He has decided to go after something that has been defunct for two decades.
And that was kind of like... The joke about it, like, yeah, online for just like a month or two, I did like this running joke where I was just furious with Zima for no reason.
Yeah.
I didn't even know it was coming back.
He was doing a Sean Spicer Dippin' Dots kind of thing.
Right. It was just shit posting on Facebook. And
now they're our sponsor. Here you go.
I don't even do them anymore because, and this is really weird, some douchebag comic stole it from me. I could not believe this when this happened. It's like, oh, this guy in town who fucking knows well about the bit, they're like, you know, Zach's doing that now, right? I'm like, really? Of all the shit I do, this random thing that A, everyone knows I do, including him, so it's obvious, and two, the most unfunny of anything I do, that's what you chose to fucking pick up the ball and run with?
And I mean, you could argue that it was just coincidence, but like, what are the odds that he picks that defunct? That'd be like if someone's making a joke about how GeoCities is the best website, and then someone else starts talking about GeoCities.
Anyway, but I saw this in the store today, and I don't think I've ever had it. You want some?
No, I don't. I have no desire to drink that clear, semi-alcoolic beverage.
It's 5%, bro. Oh, that's higher than Coors Light.
All right.
No good.
Still not a fan. Okay.
No. It kind of tastes soapy. tastes like soap.
It's probably been in the store for 13 years.
Weird. The MMA fighter guy doesn't seem to like wine coolers. Interesting. Wouldn't have called that.
Oh, yeah. Ugh. I'm going to finish it, but I'm not going to like it.
It is the 90s version of Smirnoff Ice, which I think is
only... It's unfortunate that it didn't take... Smirnoff Ice, the only reason that still exists is because of the icing game.
Right.
What's the icing game?
So the icing game, which I love, and I've played with my friends a whole lot,
is that where you put an ice cube down to the back of someone's shirt?
No, I think that's just being eight. This is where you take a Smirnoff Ice and you hide it, and this is an agreed-upon game with everybody beforehand. If you stumble upon a hidden Smirnoff Ice, you stumble upon a Smirnoff Ice somebody's hid for you, you have to take a knee and chug the entire thing, essentially, in one gulp. That sounds fun! Well, it's very fun to do to people because you got to get creative in how to hide it.
You're playing it wrong. As far as I know, in every iteration I've seen, you don't just hide it. Because, like, what if you hide it too well and nobody ever finds it? Like, you present it at a weird... No, like, you may have hidden on yourself, but you have to present it.
I mean, it's both. You have a point. Like, you don't want to do it where somebody finds it 2 months later and nobody's around. Your goal is to have them find it at the event you're at. But you want to do it in a clever way. You can't just walk up to somebody and hand them a smear
of ice. That's how it's done most of the time. One of the stupid videos I saw, like... A guy was literally walking down the aisle of his own wedding,
right.
And one of the groomsmen like stepped out and held out a Smirnoff Ice, and the guy, because he's an asshole, he had to drink it right there.
He's doing icing 101 at that game. At that point, come on, get to grad school.
Because wait a minute, like, what if you put it on the top shelf of a fridge at a party? Now anyone who opens it, that's not fair.
Yeah,
that's why Bobby's doing it.
That is also kind of a base model. So like, here's a few of the good ones that we've done before that I think are pretty clever. We'll go to a party where everybody's playing the icing game. We'll go into their bathroom, disable the toilet by removing like the little handle part, and then tape the Smirnoff Ice underneath there. So they go to the bathroom.
Do you always just have to find the hardest way to do stupid shit?
Yeah, absolutely. That's the best. That's part of life, right?
Nobody's there to prove that he found it. What if he just lifted up the lid and didn't see it?
And here's why this is is beautiful. No, no, no. It's in the
tank. I
have
a series of toilet cans for different reasons.
Yeah. You tape it to the side of the tank so that when you pull the lid off, it's sitting right in front of you. When you can hear that, you hear somebody take the toilet take off. So you wait for somebody to go in. Everybody gets excited and wait outside the door. They take a leak. Then they try and flush. It doesn't work. They pull the tank off. Everybody can hear that, and everybody starts busting up laughing because you know he's sitting there looking at a Smirnoff Ice.
And then he's pouring it down the toilet and pretending he drank it.
Now you got to go out in front of people and take a knee.
Man, this Zima is really not good.
Though the one of the best ones.
And yet it's almost gone.
Oh, I'm finishing it. I will not waste alcohol or food or anything.
So one of the best ones that I've seen online recently, which was brilliant, was they gave a guy a gigantic like California burrito, and as he's cutting into it, he hits glass and opens it up, and it's a Smirnoff Ice wrapped in a burrito.
We should hide California burritos. That I'd be down for.
Oh, you have to chug it on a knee and just eat it all.
Yeah. The whole thing. Anyway, let's get off the subject of wine coolers if we could. I'm in a bit of a predicament, okay? And I could use some advice, some help, something. My neighbors, the guy who used to house one Mr. Lee Jones. He's a nice guy. He's a with it dude, or at least he seems so, you know, nice guy. He got himself a new girlfriend, and I never thought I'd be longing for the company of Lee Jones. She's quite obviously a tweaker. Now, she's not done anything.
So is it Lee Jones?
No.
Is it Lee Jones in a wig and he worked his way Mrs. Doubtfire style back into the house?
I was gonna say Lee Jones in a wig, but he's already got the hair, so maybe just Lee Jones in a dress.
Here's the pros and cons. This lady does not bother me like Lee Jones. For those of you that just started listening recently, Lee Jones is my old neighbor who was a former tweaker I could not go in my own backyard without him popping his head over the fence very enthusiastically and just giving me a series of, fuck yeah, man, fuck yeah, it's fucking Ryan, man, fuck yeah, I'm coming over there.
It was like a methamphetamine-induced version of Home Improvement.
Right, yeah. Right. Instead of sage advice, it's just a series of curse words and him insisting he's coming over to smoke cigarettes until I tell him kindly to leave.
But like exuberant curse words. He was never mad. He was always just like super excited.
Fuck yeah, man, fuck yeah. You're just sitting there, with a hat on, you're like, oh, that's fucking awesome. So anyways, this one, she doesn't talk to me, which is fine. I like it.
Yes.
Erin's a little put off because she's waved and she's just given her the stink eye and kept going. So, rude, fine. But I don't mind rude if I'm left alone. Here's the problem. I have an endless parade of fucking dope deals happening in front of my fucking house now.
Really?
Yes. Just every time I'm working in my garage, a fucking shady-ass car pulls up. She runs out. They do a bag exchange right in front of me. I'm hoping it's weed, but even if it is, like fucking invite.
Do
your
that
guy,
inside.
Do that inside like a fucking decent dope. Right.
It's legal now.
Yeah. No, but I don't know if it's meth. I don't know if it's weed. I really don't care. But it's just it's bringing this endless stream of shady people into my neighborhood, and it's not like I can call the fucking cops. They're not going to get there in 1 second.
Now, is she buying the substances or selling the substances?
Buying.
Okay, well, at least that's better of the two options.
Yeah, except now I have these tweakers in my fucking neighborhood that have no problem peering in my fucking house from their car, have no problem staring at my stepdaughter all creepy as she walks by. And yes, I go up to their car and go, can I help you? And they fucking drive off. But I don't need to do that. I'm hypersensitive to tweakers. I lived in Lakeside. I fucking paid $500,000 to get a house not in Lakeside. So
I'm picturing Shores standing on his lawn like typical suburbia, like watering the lawn with a hose. As soon as she runs out the door, just spray her like a cat. Just like, psst, all right. Get the fuck back inside.
It's even weirder because I have AstroTurf. She's like, what are you doing? Yeah. What is there to do?
I think he's asking for some vigilante justice solutions.
I mean, he is. So here's the thing. If that person is doing harm to you, which I guess in some way they are, if they're being creepy tweakers in your neighborhood, the problem is you don't want the creepy meth dealer to know that where you live as the person who is doing something to the creepy meth dealer.
Right.
So your best bet is to start parking your car outside the neighbor's house on the other side of her. So like she has two next door neighbors, you're one of them. Go to one house up to them and you can start enacting your vigilante justice from their house as if it's coming that way. That way if the meth head ever gets angry, you know, it's not directed at you.
I feel like these are just like random cars pulling up. Like you would have to sit there and wait.
Yeah,
you know
that's
what I mean?
True. Well, here's what he does. He sees them come up. he drives his car out, parks around the block, and then walks from the other side, so it appears as if he's walking from the other neighbor's house.
Better. When you see the car pull up, you get on the roof, jump onto the trampoline, you bounce over Lee Jones' old house to the next house, and then you come from there.
That's a good idea.
Now, the question is, what do you do to kind of get them to stop coming? The easy one would be if you can get a hold of a police uniform. And it's not as hard as you might think.
I'm not impersonating law enforcement for the 100th fucking time.
I mean, if you're going to be a chick about it, fine. But the best thing you could do would be to get a cop uniform and just kind of, every time you see them come by, walk down. And you got to do it like an old Irish cop from the movies where you're swinging
the
a baton
billy club, yeah,
with an Irish accent as you walk down the sidewalk. Hey, laddie, what are you doing here? Pulling that would work. I mean, because once the memo gets out, hey, we can't go there. There's a cop who lives in that neighborhood. It'll probably do you some good. Dave, what do you suggest?
I'm going to say pass on that idea. Go. What else you got?
Oh, by the way, no, that's not going to work because fucking the owner of the house, Shane, he knows I'm a comedian. He knows I'm not a cop. So his fucking girlfriend's going to be like, oh, your neighbor's a cop. What are you talking about? Ryan's not a cop.
No.
And she'll tell her dealers that. Like, I don't want to go there. A cop lives next door. That's just a weird comedian that dresses in a policeman's pajamas.
Again, you're walking up and down, especially from the other side, without your neighbor seeing you. It's just a meth dealer seeing you.
But now you've got him patrolling the neighborhood.
Yes.
Some other neighbor is going to have a complaint about something else. They're going to grab him and try to find...
Yeah.
He can handle it. What's going on?
You've got shores with
abuse?
A new job.
Yeah, it's a domestic abuse. Shores can handle that.
Now, here is the worst part about it is also, all tweakers aside, okay? Also, the baby's daddy does the kid exchange right in front of my house, which, whatever, except... It's obviously not an amicable split up. So every 2 days, I hear the pettiest shit just like, I told you to have him ready by fucking 6. It's 6:15. What the fuck? I told you not to feed him Twizzlers anymore. He's had Twizzlers. I found a Twizzler wrapper in his onesie. Fuck you. So I'm hearing that as I'm trying to just watch a little Bar Rescue. I have to hear... At least ex-tweakers just screaming at each other petty shit every fucking time. Now, I don't know what to do about that because there's nothing illegal going on there.
Okay, I think we've found a way to solve two problems at the same time. You find this guy's contact number, the baby daddy. You talk to him and go, hey, just so you know, there's a bunch of guys just throwing some huge D to your old lady. What if you come on by and talk some shit to them as they're going on? Oh, and by the way, they're like yelling at your kid while they're doing it. You call him up, have him wait on your street.
Call him up? What do I do? What do I dial? How do I get his information?
Oh, Jesus Christ, you amateur. Come on. You got his license plate. You can get his number.
I feel like that car's not registered to anybody.
Yeah.
But continue.
So he sits out on your street. He does the stakeout for you. Next time the dude pulls up to go sell her the meth, he comes out dressed like a cop, and he puts him in their place.
I don't like any of these plans. I think you're way off base on this shit. Here's what you do. Next time a car... pulls up, you walk out there with a duffel bag, like you have a purpose. You're walking directly towards them, like eyes locked. They see you coming. You walk over there. They're like, oh shit. You step up to the car, reach in the duffel bag, and you pull out a Smirnoff Ice.
You got to get on one knee, bro. You got to get on one knee.
And he's like, we didn't agree upon those rules. You're playing ice strong.
I really hope the surgeon hid Azima Ice inside John's arm during the surgery.
If you're all weird about doing illegal stuff, this might not be up your bag. But I'm going to say this. This will work
up
too.
Your bag is not an expression.
It is now.
Don't get up your bag on this. Listen, if you walk by anybody's car, and this is a method, so he's not going to call the cops anyway. If you walk by anybody's car, you walk up to the passenger side window and just press your penis against the glass. No matter who that is, they're not coming back.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Tweakers are into some weird shit.
Let's not say no matter who it is.
Right.
On average, they won't come back.
That sure. Might be like chumming the waters for sharks.
Yeah.
You know?
The kid exchange, though. I mean, not just this couple, but anytime I see a petty kid exchange, I'm always like, what are you doing? Like, I understand that this guy probably dicked his secretary while he was married to you, or she took you for everything you were worth back in the day. But now that the smoke is cleared, do we have to tie each other up on these fucking petty ass little fucking just small issues? It's always something. It's like they find it. I have been part of a kid exchange before. I've dated girls with kids. I mean, luckily right now, My stepdaughter's real dad is not in the picture, so I don't have to deal with that anymore. But I've definitely been in relationships where I had to just...
Right.
It was more awkward for me, because like my girlfriend at the time was on the porch with the dad on Sunday night, and it's none of my business, right. I just hear it all through the window, like, God damn it, I told you. And then you just hear him like fucking think of something. I don't want him in this shirt. He looks like a fucking idiot in this shirt.
To be fair, he looks like a shirt.
Who wears green? You don't care about his well-being. You just keep going like that for 20 minutes.
And here's the cheat code to this, by the way. If you are in that...
Dress like a police officer.
Yeah. If you are in that kind of dispute with your significant other and you have a kid and stuff... Yeah, there's a huge temptation to yell back and forth, and you're pissed at them, and you probably have good reason to be pissed on both sides, and there's probably good reason for those people to argue.
Sure.
But here is the benefit to stepping above that and being the person who just goes, okay, I understand you're mad, I'm just going to take the kid now, I don't think we should fight in front of him, and doing that every single time. That kid either grows up thinking, my fucking parents fight every time they see me, or they grow up thinking, my dad's a fucking asshole. You can choose to participate or not participate in that, and it skews the kid's view. So it's, do you want that kid to think you guys are both assholes, or do you just want them to think the other person's
Bobby,
an asshole?
You act as if these people are capable of rational thought, which is commendable.
I think it goes a step further than that. I think it's even more damaging than that. I think it just is, oh... This is what relationships
this
are.
This is what normal is.
This is normal. So when I grow up and I am 18, 19, 20, and I get a girlfriend, if she does one thing that displeases me, the correct response is, are you a fucking moron? Are you the stupidest fucking person on this planet, you fucking bitch?
Absolutely.
That's normal.
With that green shirt.
I told you, green! No olive. I don't want shamrock. No green.
But see, Dave, I disagree slightly, because I do think there is a temptation. Anybody who gets into one of those like relationships, think of any of your exes that you hate that has done horrible things to you. Now imagine you have to see that person once a week for the next 18 years, right? Yes, there is a temptation, no matter who you are, no matter how good a person you are, to get in a yelling match, especially if they're already yelling at you. You want to be like, yeah, but you're the fucking worst. You cheated on me.
There's always a temptation to be selfish.
Right. But if you could step above that, if you could then pull yourself out of it, then that kid just grows up thinking he's got a fucked up mom or a fucked up dad, as
right.
opposed
but
to
what
fucked
I'm
up
saying
parents.
Is people who get themselves into this type of situation are usually the people who are completely incapable of having that objective view.
I just think that there's
I'm
a lot
being
more
irrational.
People,
let me think of the child. No, that's not even a thought that crosses their mind.
I just think there's a lot more people who will get into those fights than you think. I think a lot more rational people would get into those fights, but just need to kind of take a step back. Like, it's easy to get pissed off at that other person, and now you're exchanging a kid thing.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
And I honestly think your problem, Shores, might solve itself when eventually in a...
Murder-suicide. No, that's what I'm hoping.
In a meth-induced haze, she's going to accidentally trade the baby for drugs...
Now,
and that'll just wrap everything
now
up.
She goes to jail. No more dad coming by. Dave's
exactly.
figured this out. Also, if while that's happening,
good
you dress like a cop.
No, dress the baby like a cop.
Stolen valor. Speaking of weird things, I went to an open mic for the first time in a long time. And because usually... you know, I'll just pop in on like a smaller show around town, or I'll to try out new stuff, or I'll just reserve a spot in my normal act, like maybe 2/3 of the way through, and just try something out. But I haven't gone just to an open mic to work out shit in forever, and it has been years and years since I hung out at one.
Right. Yeah.
So Wednesday, my buddy Alan Henderson, that was just on this show a few weeks ago, he was running one. And a couple friends of mine came into town from Oregon, Gene DeBruler and Jenny Freeman, and both former San Diego comics. And they said, hey, can you get us on like a mic or something? I'm like, yeah. I called Alan. I'm like, and I'll meet you there. It'll be fun. I'll hang out with you. I'll get to see Alan. This will be fun. So I go down to the Salty Frog was the name of the place. And it was a decent little crowd, bar crowd there. It was fun enough. But my God, I forgot how many fucking weird people show up to open mics. I forgot.
Now, real, just to clarify, do you mean to perform or to watch?
Mainly to perform, yeah. Okay. And it's one and the same, because usually at an open mic, about 3/4 of the crowd is also hoping to perform that night.
Right.
You know, albeit for 3 minutes. And, okay, so at everyone, because I always thought, I'm like, oh, yeah, I know how many weirdos there are in comedy. these people have not even made it into comedy yet. Yes, these are people that are hoping to be these buffoons that we talk about.
That's right.
So, I mean, it's always the same cast of characters, too. There's always, at an open mic, there's always at least one guy that might be homeless.
Right.
Like, you're not
sure. I think
sure.
One's shooting low.
Yeah. He's got a notebook with him, too. Like, he's been thinking about some shit. Not too far removed from that, there is always the weird senior citizen that shows up.
Yeah.
That's always just very upset that he doesn't get to do all the time he could possibly want and is confused by it. He doesn't understand. He's the guy that usually you'll have to turn the music on when he's already run the light and he'll start a lot of, what's this? Oh, I can't just keep going. This is ridiculous.
To be fair, he's saying, what's this? Because he doesn't know that it's music. It just sounds like whistles.
Here's one. I don't know if this person was at the Salty Frog, but I was at an open mic myself recently, and one of the guys there was the over-enthusiastic beginner. Like, just going up to everybody, super excited, introducing himself and asking for tips.
Yeah.
And he did not want the advice that he got. He wanted someone to give him, like you talked about in previous episodes, he wanted the shortcut.
Yeah.
But this kid, he introduced himself
to... I like the cut of your jib, son. You're coming with me.
Yeah, he was talking to me and to Zoltan, asking advice. And I told him, I said, well, I'm sorry I missed your set, but I saw that you signed up for this contest we're starting soon. I'm running that contest, so I'll see you eventually. And he got excited. He's like, oh, cool. Well, hey, then you're talking to the winner of the contest.
Oh,
tone it down about three levels real quick.
It'd be great because Zoltan actually has won that contest. If Zoltan's like, no, actually, I'm the winner of the contest.
Yeah.
Another funny one that we had come to the Kumite every once in a while was the person who isn't actually telling any jokes. They're just trying to make either a political or social justice point.
Give me an example.
So they'll stand up there and they won't have a joke. They'll just stand up there and be like, this Trump administration is really hammering it towards transgender individuals. And you're like, all right, I can't wait. A good lead up. Let's see where they're going. We agree with them so far. And then next statement. We need better public education in our schools. Wait, I agree. How is this working in with the Trump thing? They almost think it's like a poetry slam and they're going up to make political points.
Yeah, similar but different is the comic. We all joke about how comedy is therapy.
Right.
But there's similar is the comedian who goes up for therapy. Like, they're up there talking, and they just, like, don't know what they're doing, but they're like, ah, fuck, why'd I wear this green shirt? My dad has always told me this shirt is fucking stupid.
I am so pleased you brought that up. The guy that arrived at the Salty Frog, not to do comedy, by the way, to shoot pool and was unaware that there was an open mic and had no pre-planned material, he fits into that category as well as several others. He was a Navy guy. It's a Navy area in Imperial Beach. He was there with a chick and his buddy to shoot pool, discovered there was an open mic, and decided not only was he going to do it with no preparation, but also that he was going to school us on how comedy's done.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow. So I can't wait to hear about this.
Let me show you how it's done, guy.
He watched a Netflix special before.
The I don't need material guy. Once I get up there, I'm just going to flow. And then he became the therapy guy. Let me explain how this unfolded. So Alan wheels his chair over to me. He's like, yo, that guy's never done it before. He doesn't have any material. He's like, I'm putting him up. And I'm like, oh, cool. He's like, he's super fucking cocky, dude. He's like, he's telling us, like, let me show these people. So,
because he also, I just want to interrupt, he also fits into another mold, which is the guy who's the funniest guy in his office has been told he needs to do stand-up.
And that was very clear because Mr. Miles Davis decided to throw on a big pair of sunglasses and strut up to the stage and stand there with a cocky grin before he went into this. So anyway, I'm in the military. I don't know why I'm even doing it. Not very good at it. Well, anyway, let's see here. I've got some, you know, I've got a lot of views. I don't have any kids, but I don't know if you should hit kids because, I mean, it's like, Dan, if you do, Dan, my dad hit me a lot. And I, at this point, I lean into Alan. I'm like, what is happening? He goes,
I wish someone would yell, what's his number? I'm going to call him and have him come down and hit you again.
He's like, you know, I feel like it gave me some work ethic and a tough skin, but at the same time, you know, I mean, I don't think it was like one time this lady, she said that I broke this sign and I didn't break the sign, but my dad didn't believe me and he took the sign. He hit me with it. And I just, you know, I don't always blame him because, you know, how he grew up. I'm like, oh, my God, this guy's talking to a therapist. And all of a sudden, me and Alan realize, dude, is he wearing the sunglasses in case he starts bawling?
Start crying, yeah.
Oh, maybe that's what it is. So anyway, now he starts to sweat, obviously, because people's mouths have fallen open. This isn't just bad comedy.
Right.
This is a guy, like, working through some personal shit.
Oh, yeah, this is awkward.
And, like, it's just flowing out of him. I don't think he can even control it, because he's had probably two pitchers of beer while he was shooting pool, not preparing to be at an open mic. And then Alan says this to me, because he's sitting there with his time. Everyone gets 3 minutes at an open mic. He goes, Ryan, how long do you think he'll babble like this if I just never wipe him? and I just put my hand over his phone as is to say, put that down, and said, let's find out. So we're sitting there, and he keeps looking over to be lit, and he is buckets of sweat.
Or tears. Could be tears as well.
Could be tears. And now he's going deeper. He's like, and you know, it just, it led to a lot of trust issues. Yeah, I don't really know what I'm doing up here. I mean, I guess it's a little harder to look. And by the way, at this point, he keeps looking over at me and Alan because we are doubled over in crying laughter. So as he looks at the audience, who's just shaking their heads with their mouths open, he does take a little solace in the fact that he thinks one of the comedians and the host is loving his set. You could tell he cannot make the distinction of being made fun of versus we right. love your material. So he does kind of look over to us like, these guys get me. And we're like, no, he don't. So anyway, he makes it to 7 minutes and 40 seconds. And finally, he's just like, I don't know what I don't have anything else to say. And he put the mic and bailed. And he just ran out of the bar.
You know that in his head, when he took the stage with the shades on, he has said that to his friends before. He's like, when they're in the military, he's like, I don't know why I signed up. I'm not even good at this. And they all laugh.
Yes.
And they're like, oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
So he took that to the stage, no reaction. And then he went panic mode.
Yeah.
And that's why, like, it did not live up to what he envisioned in his head.
It's kind of like this time where I had words with the guy at a bar, and he got right in my face. I'm like, oh, he left himself open for a clean uppercut. I threw the cleanest uppercut that landed flush on his chin, and he knocked his head back for a second and didn't even faze him. And I was like, ah! And I went berserk mode and started flail fighting. I didn't know what to do. I'm like, that should have knocked you out. I don't know what's wrong. He's a machine.
Yeah, we had the comedy version of that too at the Kumite one time. This person had emailed us, Davey and I, hey, I do comedy in Chicago and I'm visiting San Diego. Would you put me up? And I was like, yeah, of course. Come on in. We'll reserve you some
time. What's it worth, you zip?
Yeah. And the guy came in. He came up on stage. No joke. Like, dressed to the nines. Like, this guy's prepared. And Damien are like, oh, sweet. This is going to pop in from Chicago. We're really doing stuff with this show. The guy comes up. His first line is, what's up, motherfuckers? And when nobody laughs, clearly, like you said, he does this in front of his friends. He goes, hey, what's up, motherfuckers? I'm the Crazy Kramer character. And everybody laughs.
Can he say it like that?
Say what?
Nobody laughs. Like, deadpan silence. And he goes, I said, what's up, motherfuckers?
Oh,
and
then God, he doubled down on it.
One person in the crowd was like, I don't know what's up. And then he literally just looked around in panic mode and went, I'm not doing this. And got off stage. I was like, from Chicago, guest spot.
Oh my God.
What's up, motherfuckers, twice. I'm not doing this.
All right, I got two real quick. One, just going back to Shore's story about the uppercut. Turned out later, he was trying to punch a cardboard cutout of the Zima guy. Thought it was a real person, and that's why there was no effect. But a situation I saw recently, they started doing a roast battle at one of the open mics here in town.
Ugh.
And it did not go as you would imagine, to the point that even the winning comic was disappointed because she had it built up in her head that she was just going to demolish this guy, and she won, but the crowd wasn't into it, and he was so bad that she was just like, wait a second, that's not how this is supposed to be.
If you guys have never heard of a roast battle, it's where two comedians go up, you tell jokes, and you're supposed to try and insult the other person.
And it's the worst thing to happen in comedy since Bill Engvall.
It's good when it's done well. So yes. Brian Moses started this whole thing. He's an ex-San Diego comic, went up to L.A., started this big trend, this idea of the roast battle. It became famous. It's on TV now. It's a big deal. And everybody's trying to copy him and do roast battles.
Which, by the way, right there, the blatant, like, oh, man, you do that? I'm gonna do that right. too. Like it infuriates me that that people are just so creatively bankrupt that they just go, well, that's my idea too. Then
he's calling you out, Alan Henderson. I think you guys need to roast battle each other.
Well, and I don't. I'm not offended by it because guess what? So I mean, people would want to do stand up. This is another medium, kind of like stand up.
I guess you're right, but it just seems so derivative.
Well, the problem is when people suck at it or people yes. don't put the time and preparation into yes. it. Because I got asked to do a roast
which
battle,
which is what happened last night.
And I did, and I sat down and I spent a long time writing jokes because I wanted to go up. You have a minute or two to tell yeah. a good joke. I want this to be good. A bunch of people are coming to see it. This other person, I assume, is preparing as well. So it's kind of insulting to not take the time to like go out and do some work. And I did, and I had a great time. But I was going up against a comedian that I respect who does very well. And we went back and forth and had a great time. It was really fun. It was Babs.
Barbara Thompson. Okay. Yeah. I think, roasts are fun. Roasts in general and roast battles can be fun. But again, to Shores's point, like it's just getting too commonplace. It's yeah. everywhere and it's...
The problem isn't the commonplace. The problem is because it's so commonplace...
It's fun doing the 80s.
Shitty people are doing it.
Right.
The thing about roast battles is unlike stand-up, because it's like one joke, one joke, one joke, if you spend the time to write it, you don't even have to be a good comedian.
Right.
If you sit down and workshop something with three or four people, you can be great at roast battles. What's insulting is when people don't spend the time to actually do it.
That's one of the big knocks on roast battles right now, though, from other comics, not just yours, but a lot of comics I know have said that's why they hate the roast battle, because it's kind of a generic template. Like, if you're yeah. roast battling someone
True.
Who's fat, you can do a shit ton of fat jokes.
True.
If maybe their father abandoned, like, you can write jokes for basically any situation. And it's funny, but it doesn't really take a whole lot of skill.
True.
Also, for me, maybe I'm just not good at it, and that's why I don't like it, because I've never done it, and I'm not going to do it, because I have two modes, funny or cruel and mean. I don't know how to cross them over. So I could either make people laugh, or I could make people very much want to kill themselves, and it won't be funny. It will just be me saying, you are the worst human being on the planet. Everyone fucking wishes you would die. You are more in the way than you are helping anyone.
While you are pressing your penis against their window.
Right, and dressed like a cop.
Yeah.
So, it would just be people going like, oh my God, like, why would he talk like that to that lady? I've done this, and that's why I have to be very careful with my heckler responses. I actually don't get heckled quite very much at all. For some reason, I'm not the person they want to interrupt. I don't know why.
Right.
But when I do, like when an older lady will be talking, I'll say something just so foul that the audience will turn on me like, wow, that was... really uncalled for. So I think roast battles, I would just be too mean.
Yeah, you have to get clever, funny, mean. That's the
yeah.
goal.
Yeah, it's a good opportunity to be clever and funny. It is easy to do, but it's still fun. Like, we actually had a roast of Shores not too long ago.
Right.
Which, I mean, similar format. A bunch of people roast him. He roasts us back at the end. And that's why I like the roast battle, because it's like one-on-one. It's a fun... I could never do it. I'm way too sensitive. I'll roast anyone else, but I don't like being roasted.
Another thing I wanted to bring up real quick, what happened with this female comic? What did she, what's her name?
Eliza Schlesinger. I'm not
Schleicher?
Sure how to say it, but.
Eisla Schlesinger.
She has a show on Comedy Central.
Yeah. She's Schlitz-Maltliker.
I think she actually, ironically, I think she did get her start, or at least did some of the roasts on Comedy Central as well.
Well, we live in such an outrage culture now. Anyone says anything, everybody gets outraged, and then it goes the other direction. People get outraged at the outrage. But what happened, why everyone's up in arms over her, in an interview recently, she was basically talking shit on female comedians. She's like, there's really
yes,
not many
hero!
Good female comics. She said she could go into any club, close her eyes and listen, and she wouldn't be able to tell one female comic from another, and you don't have to joke about your pussy and whatever. And I think people got mad because
Beautiful.
Of hypocrisy, because that's how she started. Like, she was...
Didn't she?
That's her roots.
But to be fair, that'd be like, you know, somebody saying, hey, there's a lot of hacky comments out here. And people would be like, yeah, but your jokes early on were hacky. It's like, yeah, we all were. We all had to start somewhere. So
yeah.
I actually would have more respect for her if she's being honest that way and saying, yeah, I used to tell these hacky jokes. Now I realize they're hacky and not good. And we shouldn't just nod
I think
our
it's
heads.
The part that she did not acknowledge that she yeah. used to be hacky and not good. She's like, I'm fucking awesome. I'm the best female comedian out there and shit like that. Like, that's not what she said, but she.
I see. But you're right. We live in an outrage culturally. How on the planet can you allege that Bill Maher is a racist?
Right.
How Bill Maher, fucking Bill Maher, he gave $1 million to the Obama campaign.
And he's famous for banging nothing but black women.
Right. Yeah. And then he made an off-the-cuff, he said house nigger on his show.
Yeah.
And it was an off-the-cuff thing.
Oh, God damn it, Ryan. Now we're all screwed. Now Ryan shed it.
We'll have to have Ice Cube on here. Son of a bitch.
Yeah, but I mean, people like even that, like, no, not funny. Actually, our good buddy Kendrick, he gave me the rules of getting permission to say the N-word. He said, you can only say it if you're white, if you are in the company of all black guys that have all given you the permission to have said it.
Right. Fair enough.
So if you're in a room, that means you can never say it publicly because there's no way the entire world's giving you that free pass. But if you're in a room with three black guys and all three have given you the permission to say the N-word, you're good to go.
I actually think that's a good rule.
If but there's eight of them and seven gave you permission, you can't do it.
You can't do it. And that's fine.
But what was
I
funny,
don't need to say it that badly.
If you saw his like show afterwards, his next show, which was last week's, after that whole incident happened, the first guest he had on was like a Baptist preacher or somebody, and they sat down and talked about it. And he's like, well, listen, I just want to explain the reason why this happened. Listen, it was wrong. I shouldn't have said it. I don't have the right to say it. I just want you to know it wasn't me trying to be racist or anything. I was just trying to be a comedian. I'm trying to make people laugh. I thought of a joke in the moment that wasn't a pre-planned, written joke. I thought of something and I said it, and it was wrong and I shouldn't have said it, but that's what happened and I'm sorry, and that's all I can say is I'm sorry and blah, blah, blah. And they have this very in-depth conversation. They go into like a 10-minute diatribe on this entire thing. They have a what I think is actually probably one of the most legitimate apology type things you will see on TV that doesn't seem just bullshit and whatever. Then later on in the show, he has Ice Cube on.
Yeah.
And Ice Cube comes on with his like angry face and he's like, I just want to know, man, I got two questions for you. Number one, why did you say that? And he was like, were you not backstage? I spent like 10 minutes talking about this.
He was super high. It's Friday.
Yeah, that's true.
What was the second question?
It was just more outrage about it. But
so he was legitimately mad at him?
Oh, yeah. And,
really?
And the, well,
at
I mean,
Bill Maher.
Right. And like, listen, if you're legitimately mad, fine, then you're legitimately mad. But the fact that he's like, I just got one question. And he's like, I already answered that. And he's like, not to me, you didn't. And it's like, well, yeah, I did. I answered it to everybody.
And here's what also upsets me. When someone makes an apology publicly, you guys know this. I am such a sucker for an apology, number one.
Right. Especially a genuine one.
A genuine one. Well, only a genuine one, to be honest with you. Secondly, I never get them myself.
Right.
So that when I see someone get an apology, something I never fucking get, and then just discard it, just throw it away, just ignore it, and continue to be outraged, it makes me more upset. So the more people continue to be upset at someone that for something that they've apologized for, the more I am upset at them. Does that make sense?
Right.
The more I'm like, you selfish motherfucker, you got an apology? No one in the last year, 5 years, has apologized for me.
It's like seeing,
for anything.
It's like seeing the rich kid on Christmas getting all the presents and not liking them. You're like, I would kill for those presents.
Right.
That's hilarious.
It's like someone videotaping the Rolling Stones at a concert. Like, watch it with your eyes. I would love to be there. You're ruining it for yourself by just proving you're at the show. That's all you're doing with your phone.
Oh, guys, I got the greatest fake outrage story for you this week. Those of you know, I put a post up on Facebook. It was the day of that shooting where the crazy guy went and shot a bunch of the congressional members at the baseball game.
Differently abled.
Right. And my post was, I came home from work today to find another completely avoidable tragedy has occurred. And then, I mean, why do we even want to see one of the greatest UFC fighters and the only two-division belt holder lose horribly in a boxing match? A joke, of course, on the fact that McGregor was also... They also announced that day that McGregor was fighting Mayweather.
I like that you just had to explain that that was a joke.
Right. Well, here's why I did.
I demand an apology!
Do you guys ever check the messages folder? Everybody has a Facebook messages folder. There's one for people who you are not friends with, and it's usually like crazy people or ads. It's like a spam one or something like that.
I can't find it.
So I checked that folder, and I randomly checked it just to go see if somebody had messaged me about a venue I was looking at, and I all of a sudden get a response on that particular post, and it was, so you're saying they deserve to be shot?
Yeah.
What?
Apparently, me making the McGregor joke was me implying that the congressional members deserve to be shot.
I use the word retards, and I really got it for some people.
But I've seen a lot of fake outrage. That, to me, is the epitome of fake outrage. This is not at all related to anything, but if you are making a joke somehow very peripherally surrounding a subject I feel sensitive about, you are saying that those people deserve to be shot.
I can't stand that fake outrage business. But anyway, Mayweather and McGregor, though.
Yeah, speaking of Mayweather McGregor, that is going to be a horrible thing to watch because he is indeed, he is a great UFC champion. He is a future Hall of Famer without a doubt. He is the only person to ever hold two belts at the same time in different weight classes. He has also, by the way, also holds a bunch of different belts in other venues, including kickboxing and other MMA.
He's got a nice brown one that goes with his vest really nice.
That's right.
His whole outfit together.
That's right. He is an excellent fighter. He's and one of the things that I admire about him
showman.
Is that he's able to do all of that with a white belt in jiu-jitsu, which is unheard of in modern MMA.
Yep.
He is an amazing fighter. He's so much fun to watch. He talks so much shit and is just a great entertainer. And he's one of he's got a comedian's wit. He's very quick with his stuff.
Oh, yeah.
He comes right back at people. I love it so much. And the fact that we are going to sit there and watch him be technically dismantled by one of the best boxers to ever walk the face of the earth is a sad thing.
Now, let me... Okay, now that's a very popular opinion and I agree with it. But there are some factors that I think could work for McGregor. Now, number one is that Floyd prepares to fight other boxers.
Right.
And as you know, being a boxer, is when you go in against someone that has a really weird, unorthodox style, they're all, it's almost like playing poker against someone who's new at it. It's a little bit dangerous because you don't know what to prepare for. And they and that's what leads me to my second point. Puncher's chance, he has got power in his left.
Not with 10-ounce gloves.
With 6-ounce gloves, yeah.
Yeah, not with 10-ounce gloves. And that was the thing I thought. I actually had heard Joe Rogan say something like, oh, if Dana arranges this, he won't let them fight in anything above 8-ounce gloves. And so even when I saw this, I was like, oh my God, Floyd's going to stand there and, you know, what they call a 16-ounce peekaboo, both hands up, just hiding behind it really easily. And then one of my buddies, David Novin, corrected me. He's like, no, they're using 10-ounce gloves on this fight. And I was like, oh my God. Like, not only is that an amazing defensive advantage, but it makes his offense way less powerful, not only because of the fact that, yeah, you've got a little bit of padding in there, but more importantly, you cannot get 10-ounce gloves through 10-ounce gloves the same way you get UFC gloves through it. You essentially are fighting with big pillows on your hands.
Yeah.
He is losing his entire advantage. That entire ability to hit big, heavy shots is essentially gone.
Also, he's much bigger than Floyd.
Is he?
And I mean, he's fought... also, he's a lefty.
Yeah, and Floyd has always had problems with southpaws.
Yeah, he found a problem with southpaw boxers. I mean, the other thing, look at McGregor's stance. McGregor fights in a kickboxing stance because he uses those kicks to keep people on edge and then pops in and pops out. You can't do that with boxing. You have to stand in an upright stance. It's one he's not used to, so he's not going to be able to even throw those big power shots he's used to throwing.
Are we all agreed that he's doing this for the payday? And,
yeah,
and absolutely.
And he's going to bail after this and we'll never hear from him again?
And that's the other thing that's kind of sad about this is he's going to be embarrassed, then he's going to get a great payday, and then he has indicated he might not even come back to the UFC after that.
I could see him not coming back, though, because why? I mean, he's conquered two divisions.
Right.
He's a fucking baddest. He's done everything. Fucking okay, done. Move on.
Yeah, okay. Is he going to be Rousey and go do movies?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, she got fired from all those.
Never mind. That's right. I don't see him knocking Floyd out. One is Floyd is used to dealing with excellent boxers who throw perfect punches, who he is still able to avoid every single time. That is not Conor McGregor. Conor is not used to fighting with those gloves. He's not used to fighting in that stance, and he's certainly not used to fighting the best boxer in the world. It's just, there's no upside to this for him except for money. It's going to be sad to watch a legend take that type of beating. And yeah, I wish it wasn't going out.
There's a few ways this fight could go. Obviously, the most disappointing would be Floyd just being defensive and dancing away for 10 or 12 rounds. That would just be so anticlimactic.
But I don't even think that's going to happen.
Conor could, you know, it's possible he could knock Floyd out. He could win.
Anything's
somehow
possible.
Some fluke. He could do it. But what would be almost as fun? I like UFC better. I want the MMA guy to win. But it would be almost just as fun to see Floyd just destroy Conor, just because he's known as such a defensive dancer. It'd be great to see him unleash his potential and just dominate McGregor.
Which he does. He has done before on boxers he's not afraid of. And this would be a boxer he's not afraid of.
Speaking of people that I know for sure are going to win something, Bobby, the debate.
Oh, that's right. We have a debate coming up. That's right. The debate, of course, against a...
Because I can't wait to the look on your face when he proves the world is flat.
I can't wait.
Stupid bastard.
I'm ready to be schooled. There's a gentleman, if you guys missed the last show, there's a gentleman who has made some very boisterous claims about a flat earth. He is very persistent and insistent.
Also, Connor's going to win.
about it. The flat earth is probably more probable. But he is. He would like to debate. This was set up not by me. This was set up by another comedian who has asked me to come in and debate him about this particular issue. So we are currently looking for a venue. I have cleared with him. Now, it's funny. I actually posted last night to his thing. I posted on, Daniel, I'm looking around for venues and stuff. I need to know your availability. And is a month enough time for you to prepare? His response.
He sent a meme, didn't he?
No. His response was, I don't need to prepare. You need to prepare. I am completely free.
Oh, he's the Navy playing pool at an open mic.
Yes!
Right. I am completely free.
Show up in sunglasses.
I just need a ride. Now, here's what's funny about that. One is, I like the I don't need to prepare. I was thinking in my head, like, I know you don't.
Car.
I know you don't need a month to prepare. And maybe you don't even need 2 weeks to prepare. But are you saying that you don't need literally any time to prepare? Like, on any given day when you are walking around, are you doing so with a diorama of a flat earth and
he's
a USB stick with a PowerPoint
memes.
In your pocket? Like, wow. What? You don't need no time to prepare? And then my second, which I commented on, was like, hey, I don't mean to get into semantics, but I mean, technically, arranging a ride would be part of preparation, right? Yeah. I mean, that is kind of a preparing thing. And there was some back and forth. But indeed, we are...
Is he insinuating you should give him a lift? Because that's going to be an awkward car ride.
Yeah, and it wouldn't be possible because obviously I'd be at the venue setting up. So like that wouldn't really be a possibility.
Setting up. You need to prepare?
Yeah.
Oh, boo!
I do. I absolutely do. I don't go around studying...
Fake science!
Flat Earth.
He needs to get a fake theory. Policeman's uniform so he can put that on.
Hi, laddie! So we're doing that. I think one of the comedians has volunteered to go pick him up and drive him around. What's funny is...
Drive him around? What is he?
Yeah, he has to get there and back. But what's funny is, and I know you guys can't see his post because you're blocked, he was very angry about it. He was very aggressive. He got very angry and he's like, I just need to get a ride back and forth. And I said, well, you know, isn't that part of preparation? He's like, what's with you fucking San Diego guys? Takes you more than a month to prepare a ride? What's wrong with you? And then people were like, why are you assuming people are going to give you a ride? I don't understand it. And he was like, fuck you guys. Fuck this. Fine. Whatever. I'll find my way there. I'll fucking Uber.
Wow. Oh, so he's got the Uber app, but he's still demanding a ride?
Right.
What a selfish
dick. And so here's the thing. I know, Shores, that, and I want to do this too, but I know you would want everyone to sort of pile on him during the debate. Like when he says something, we all laugh. We cannot do that.
Right.
We cannot put him on the defensive. We have to let him say every stupid thing he's going to say, and we can't laugh. We can't have an outburst. Oh, my God. We have to let him go. Otherwise, he's going to storm out of there, and we're not going to get the satisfaction of seeing him lose.
Right. So what I would like to do is...
Wait a minute. Let me ask you this, then. How does he lose?
Well, so here's the loose format that I would like for this debate, which is we'll get up, we'll say our introductions. I will briefly go over the standard heliocentric model of our solar system, globe Earth, all that kind of stuff. And then just so everybody's familiar with it. And then I will cede the floor to Daniel and I'll give him 20 minutes. I'll give him the bulk majority of the time. I will do a quick intro, let him do that.
Sounds like a bit of a snooze fest.
He has the ability to tell us. I don't think there'll be anything boring about what he has to say.
I disagree.
He will tell us how his model works, how the universe works, how the Earth works, the whole flat Earth thing. Then I get a period of 5 to 7 minutes for questions to ask for clarification. Issues, and then I will go up and address each thing individually, hopefully with him on
the stage. For a second, I thought you said, I will go up and address. And I'm like, this is getting so much better.
No, policeman's outfit, bro. Yeah. Have you not been listening?
Or maybe a mixture of both. But regardless, I will go up and then address each one. And then
policeman's ball.
What I would ask is for all of our degenerates that would like to show up, please do. Please come on up. We will try and make it a free event so that everybody can come. However, what I would ask is during those 20 minutes where he is explaining his part, if we could listen politely, not laugh, not make fun, not do anything, and then I will ask questions back and forth. When I go into my deconstruction of what he's saying, then feel free to emote however you feel. At that point, it will then be appropriate.
Now, and wait, I must clarify this. I am still the MC, yes?
Absolutely, we can make you the MC. Right.
Can we do this, and do you think this would help or hurt? Can we have a period of audience questions?
At the end, absolutely.
Ooh.
Okay. So I know we'll have a lot for Daniel.
I can't wait. I'm going to wear a suit.
This is going to be great.
All right. So we'll announce when that finally takes place. It's probably going to take as long as the Mayweather-McGregor negotiations took. But we'll do our best. Anyway, I'm Ryan for Dave and Bobby saying see you next week. Cruising with the twos. I don't have anything else to say. Ooh, yeah, time passing by. Oh, that time passing by. Oh.
fucking time is passing by.
Fuck yeah, man. Fuck yeah. You're just sitting there. You're sitting there with a hat on. And you're like, oh, that's fucking awesome.